Wem.
And I'm Lewis.
This is the Forest School Podcast.
Let's go!
With the Sound of Music.
Thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to The Sound of Music while you set up this morning.
It's a banging soundtrack. Although,
yeah,
I was like loving it. The how do you solve a problem like Maria?
Mm-hmm.
Incredible tune, right? Mm-hmm. And then out of nowhere, a song I'd completely forgotten. Mm-hmm. The one that is like, you're a little stupid girl, and I'm 17.
Hi.
So listen to me, you stupid woman. That's basically the song. Because I was listening to the soundtrack, and I might show my kids this film tonight. Like,
yeah.
That's, I reckon they
yeah,
could
yeah,
get.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like, okay, we're skipping that one. Mm. There's literally one where it says, a line in there that says, your life is a blank page that men will want to write upon.
Oh, my Lord.
What a, like...
Mm. How weird.
It's rancid.
Weird and creepy.
Like, there's Nazis in that film, and they're not the worst bit. that's hyperbole, obviously.
Yeah.
They are. Sorry, I've gone a bit silly.
That's all right. You can fill me with some of your energy, because I haven't quite woken up yet.
It's been a long pause, because people who are Patreon listeners will have heard our Patreon-only waffle chat maybe a week and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
and we went, and we're going to talk about taking children on quests in our break, and then, would you believe, an arrangement that we'd made came back in the gap, and we went, oh yes, we did know about this. Of course we did, and we didn't have time.
We can't pod now.
We can't podcast because of previous us.
Yes.
Made things. But we're going to do it now, and actually I'm quite glad we did.
Yeah.
So, for background, I was recommended a book called Let Your Children Go Back to Nature. It's really hard to read
that font, isn't it?
It's like Comic Sans font.
Yellow and red.
Yellow and red, but against a green background. It looks like one of those things to test if you're colourblind.
Mm.
You know, you're like, can you see the word twat in that? and on the front cover, there's four children, half naked, red headbands on, faces painted, chests painted in like loincloths and holding a wooden spear.
Yes.
And
it's by John Hodgson and Alan Dyer.
I found out Alan Dyer is based very near to us, based in South Devon.
All right.
But I was recommended this book. I can't remember exactly why. And we were playing with like masks and bits of ritual.
Yes,
and there were things in here that were like, ooh, these are quite interesting.
Mm.
And then, so I started reading it. And the main crux of this book is actually about setting up, like, quests.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about, I can't remember exactly how many. If I had two hands and a microphone stand, I would be able to flick through this book much more easily. They talk about there being different dragons.
Mm-hmm.
1 second, because I want to find the names of these dragons. Oh no. But it's okay, so the whole book is like based on like taking the idea that like myths and legend stories and like the hero training arc and that is like a key component in like childhood experiences. And so this book is kind of advocating for setting up the kind of thing. I thought it sounded a bit like immersive theatre.
Yes.
So it talks about setting up these huge things, and it describes how with a lot of these, you need essentially access to Dartmoor because they talk in one bit about there needing to be a long journey between events. So it being like you meet somebody at the top of a tour, they give you a riddle and a clue, and then I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it's almost like you need at least an hour of trekking before the next event, which we're immensely privileged to have a 3-acre private site. But like an hour of walking, even with like small children, an hour of walking is massive. And to like not overlap and to not any do these things. Anyway, but it kind of talks about it, and it comes from this very Western history, Greek history, background. There's loads of like beefing up of Britain and the British Isles. There's at one point where they talk about, and I've never heard this before,
right,
this idea that Britain was the land of the Druids, mm-hmm. and that the Celtic people in France mm-hmm. would send their dead across the channel in boats, mm-hmm. unmanned, just like send it out, mm. and then that the Celts sort of occupied Britain as like a massive monastery, and that through the mist of the English Channel, the Druids would sing out a song, and the people in France were like, ah, they've gone to the promised land.
Oh, that sounds a bit like King Arthur when he goes to the Lady of the Lake and the yeah. wherever he goes. Where'd he go?
I don't remember. But there's lots of like... it's
Avalon.
There you go, 10 points. It's very... and there's lots of different ones. And they talk about through history of like what an immensely important spiritual island Britain is to basically the world. I'll be totally honest. Mm. It sets off any like super pro Britain thing sets off my like tiny fascist radar.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the
it's climate unfortunate
in 2023.
That. It's unfortunate.
It is really unfortunate.
True.
But there's a bit in there as well where I think there's the phrase that really got me was something like, you know, the myths and legends of the hero going on training and King Arthur, and they permeate the whole world from Britain to Germany to Greece, and then it moves on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just kind of read that and was like, okay, so that's what you think the whole... and that added to my tiny...
yeah.
And I'm not accusing the authors of being... I'm just saying that's how it was received in my 2023 brain.
Yeah.
With what we've got. So this book is from the, 2003, I think, or 2005. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of interesting to explore that idea of we go for Forest School being learner-centred, not child-led, and that some learners would benefit or would really enjoy this level of, like, prescriptive adventure. You know, where is it in terms of, like, meeting people where they are if they... needed this, mm-hmm. you know? And so I guess before we even did it, because we tried this yesterday.
We did.
I had some reservations about, like, this is going to be so linear. Because unless you put hours and hours into, like, a forking flow chart of, like, if they choose A or B, then it goes down here. And if they choose C, then it goes here. And if they choose... the level of planning and preparation needed to... support that experience is massive, and I think that's where this book kind of comes from, an idea of like running the quest over and over and over again with different groups of learners. So you have your like five costumes, you know where they're going to go. This week it's a group from Wunkleton School, and they're going to go do the quest. Okay, everybody knows their roles. Okay reset next week. Chinkleback School is coming. They're going to go off and do the same thing, and like you can do that when what you run is a repeated experience. The legwork of setting that up for a, not even for a group, but to offer a group that they might not take you up on was not something that I felt like I could 100% apply in our session. Mm-hmm. Would you have said?
Yes, as it was, you were like, let's do this thing. I've got a vague idea about an injured monarch and...
Yesterday
morning. Injured monarch and a medicine healer person. And then together we were like, okay, and then we can just tell them to look for the person in the black cloak. So I'll put the black cloak on in that time and we'll leave them a message and that'll be that. So it was very kind of bare bones. Oh, yeah. And then, oh, quick extension. The potion that they have to collect... maybe it's not strong enough, so they have to go on another little mini quest to find the other thing.
We had to go hide that thing.
Yes.
We
did. So it did require some setup, but it wouldn't have been the end of the world if they hadn't have gone for it, or if only some of them went for it, which turned out like they kind of joined. There was a cohort that went, yes, we're up for this, and went. And then there were a few people who were not sure I'm going to sort of watch. And then there was a couple of people who were like, no, I'm going to watch from the edges and then only join in right at the end. And that was absolutely fine. But yeah, if you had spent ages and ages and ages setting it up with lots of different resources and things. And then, and you'd also kind of imagined it was going to take a certain amount of time of your session. And then, yeah, either it wasn't taken up, or very easy for, you know, someone to happen upon the resource right at the end.
Yeah,
you know, I found this weird thing
they know the woods so well. Anything out of place that had been like,
I found this
under a pile of sticks and dirt.
Everything was resting on the crux of that discovery, and now it's So you set it up by saying that you set it up so nicely. I say, oh, yeah,
it was very smooth, wasn't it?
Thank you. Yeah, so you were not in role at that point, because that's also kind of what I want to talk about with this a little bit, is like that kind of, like, in drama, we call it teacher in role. But obviously, you can say adult in role. So you weren't in role. You were just Lewis. And you were like, oh, guys, by the way, this morning I just saw this, like, eagle owl, like, in the circle. And they were like, what? You're like, yeah, it was just like, it kind of winked at me. And then it sat on the post box over there. So we've got a little post box in the mud kitchen. And then you just sort of like went, and then some people twigged straight away and were like, you know, and they went to the post box and got the scroll and looked at the message about an injured monarch being, had been missing for several days. And then, but some people saw you go off down the hill and really wanted to follow you. So I was like, guys, come this way. You know, they were
even at that stage, the need for like, autonomy
and knowledge and like knowledge. There are secrets being kept from me.
This was a different
thing.
Thanks
to everybody that's rating and reviewing on Spotify and iTunes. It really helps us to find new listeners and share what we're doing with more
Lewis
and more
people.
Lewis
is going over there. I wonder where he's. Which is really, you know, even though they knew the thing was happening and they were like in the thing, they were like it needed to be a like, I know what you're doing.
And I think that's, you have to, it's just that light touch thing, isn't it, of forest school practice.
Oh, yeah.
Where
no
you're just
ego
like,
bruising,
yeah, exactly,
no, like,
exactly.
Oh, don't
none
ruin
of
it. Like,
exactly.
You know, we could have then gone, guys, okay, look, listen, don't,
exactly.
Just do a little like, bleep, face. And
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
Sneak off and go, yeah. I can run faster than you. If you find me, you find me. Great.
Yeah, and some people are like, is this real? Like, or what? Was this,
so
is this
I, yeah,
all
so I wasn't
set
there
up,
for that
you know?
Bit. Because I'd gone, I sort of left the invitation and then ran.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you were there to see what the response to that invitation was.
I can't remember when we last did this, because we have done this before, haven't we? And I actually don't think that anyone in the group now was there when we did it before. But we've done little things like
we've
that before.
Little
yeah, little
you know,
bits
like
of
the fairies
maps
have
and
left,
yeah.
Oh, just has anyone seen this thing? Or like, I don't know where the whatever's gone.
So that bit wasn't as sort of queried, actually. No one went, oh, is this real, until later, until the second half, the other quest, where it's like, oh, the, you know, they had to collect two of each.
We should strike it out in the narrative.
So they came to find you, and you were wearing a cloak and a crown, and you, what did you say to them?
I was lying prostrate on the floor, and I was going, a spell hit me in the back.
Yeah.
I need help from the medicine woman, and she wears a black cloak.
Yeah.
And like, you know, then they went, oh, God, and ran.
So some of them ran really fast and came and saw
some
that it was me.
Some people wouldn't leave me.
Yeah.
Sorry. Carry on the narrative. So then they came up to find you.
Yeah. And then I told them, they told me the story and were like, he said, we need the potion of healing, la, la, la. So I was like, you need two cones, from two of each cone that the forest has to offer. And they were like, what does that mean? And then one of them was like, oh, like pine cones. Oh, like, but what other kind of cones are there? We found this one. And so some of the people had more sort of knowledge of that than others. So they managed to find two larch cones, two pine cones and two Douglas fir cones. And then they went to get you.
Some people stayed with me and brought me up to the...
Yeah. And then you sat on the ground in a clear space, and we put the pine cones in a circle. Oh, I sort of told them, you know, we must put the pine cones in a circle around you.
At this point, 100% engagement.
Oh, yeah.
Every single person involved in this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we all join hands, and then we take some steps this way, and take some steps this way, and then do this small chant and whatever. And then, and you were like, ugh. And we were like, oh, no, it's not strong enough. The spell that hit him was too strong. So you need to go on a secondary quest to go and find the, you know, I was like, oh, I think there's some myth in the mists of time about a dragon and a la la la. So then they had to go off and find another potion in the place where the dragon had been banished.
It was a little packet of dragon sneezes that was given to us by Paul as a very kind
dragon fire.
Dragon fire.
Yeah, purple dragon fire.
So, thank you, Paul. You were the your treasure.
Yeah.
Was much appreciated.
So then they had to make a fire. The instructions were on there, and you know, one was like, "Okay, it says make your favorite fire lay," and I was just like, "Okay, let's do it then." And then, again, watching all of them, kind of. People going, oh, I know about this. No, you need to do this. You need more smaller sticks for this point. And they just did it all. And then we, put the potion on the fire and made purple fire. And then it healed you. And that was the end. Mm. And the amount of people going, oh, yeah, can we do that again? Can we do that every week? Can we just do that? Oh, my God, that was so fun. Can we do it every week? Can we do it every week?
Yeah. Do the next one. Keep going.
Yeah.
And we were like, whoop. That's where that planning bit came in. We were
But actually, it springboarded so many different little adventures, I think, that lots of people went off, and there was that sort of a momentary lull of like, okay, it's finished, do another, you know, can we do that every week?
All the play cycles ended at once, which is quite rare.
Yeah, and then, but then everyone just kind of whooshed pretty much in their own direction, doing their own thing, and cloaks were worn and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. It was actually the secondary quest bit that a couple of people were like, so was that meant to happen? Did you like plan that
the spell didn't work?
Was that part of it? Did you plan that? And you have to kind of, and it's quite useful having some kind of costume that you can then like take off. So so I just dropped the hood of the cloak and went to the person. So we could do the next bit
Break
and put it back on again. Because some learners are going to find it really hard, especially if like all the adults are in role. Do you know what I mean? Like. I think adults have got to be able to drop the role to help the sense of safety for some learners.
Yeah, some people were really unhappy that I was ill.
Yeah.
Some people wouldn't leave me, were crouched down next to me.
Yeah.
Clearly in a, like, almost catatonic, like...
Yeah.
Lewis is ill.
Even though you were wearing, like, a silly crown and a silly yellow cloak.
So I didn't have a thing that I could take on and off. But what I did kept doing was going from, like, a very weary face with my eyes almost shut to... opening my eyes fully and then going like, it's all right, I'm actually fine. Emphasizing the switch between the two.
Yeah.
But even so, I was reassuring people, but even so, some people were like, okay,
because
my social responses.
I know. And like, how often do kids get to see adults doing that? Like properly in role playing. Like not very often. And some kids love it and will ask for you to do it again and again. Can you be the Wicked Witch of the East again? Yeah. Can you be the Pokemon trainer? Can you be the queen who comes to inspect the mud kitchen? You know, and they really, really, it's exciting and really fun. And some kids, it's going to be, obviously very unsettling and weird. And how am I supposed to respond to this person now?
Well, there was two responses, aren't there? There's two, like, there's like the, I would say... 80% of people just kind of going with the flow. This is cool. This is engaging. I'm having fun with this thing. Then there's like two sort of other ends of that, which is like one end is the people like we were just saying who couldn't leave because the social response to someone being ill is like, well, I'll stay with them. I'm so hyper invested in the role playing that it was hard to break out of it. And then there was probably another 10% that were the other way, which were like, I need you to know that I am not invested in this role play. And the response, the like high autonomous response, because like we don't do that very often. And so that like some people have got higher drives for autonomy or for like control. And so this is one of the things that was worrying me about the whole like set up a predetermined quest thing is that you're putting possibly like artificial barriers in front of people who find barriers very challenging. So things like when I was ill, some people were then going, as we would in a like free play, in air quotes, game, they were like, finding some moss on the ground and we're like, have this makes you better. But it's said in a like a declarative way. Wasn't I wonder if this will make you better. It was like ownership of the game. This makes you better,
and that's quite harsh, isn't it? If you're
and
like,
I had to go like,
no it doesn't
a bit, but it doesn't, and they're like,
yeah,
and then you're like dropping play cues that otherwise I would pick up in a truly improvisational like, oh great, but I need a bit more, or like, oh yeah, let's do. And you know, maybe with more practice we would get better at.
I don't know if that's necessarily dropping a play cue, you know, because
not dropping a play cue, but you
because
know
you're
what?
Still accepting it. You're kind of going yes and, aren't you, in that improv game? You're kind of going like, otherwise you'd be like, no. Like, or you'd be ignoring them. That
or
would
you
be dropping.
Go out of role and go, that's not what we're doing.
Exactly. That would be dropping the play cue. Whereas, like, taking it and. Because, you know, you'd watch kids playing completely free role play and that kind of thing might happen, for sure. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing of like, no, actually, you know, like yesterday in the afternoon, I had to be a person trying to catch Pokemon and. I was like, I'm attacking you. And they all woke up out of their little nest and ran away. And then the person whose idea that whole plot point was like, no, guys, you don't wake up. Like, you're supposed to be asleep and she gets you. You know, that kind of thing happens all the time. So I wouldn't necessarily say that it's particularly negative. But, yeah, there is a kind of... You can't deviate too far from the planned
path. And someone was trying to go... Essentially, in those moments, people were trying to go, I don't actually want to go up the hill to talk to this person. I'm going to find a different solution to this.
Right.
And we're going, no, there is only one solution. So you can get better at your yes ands, but that person is still... not, or those people are still not in control in a way that they would be otherwise.
It reminds me a little bit of, so I used to do teaching role when I was teaching English and drama in secondary loads, and it was like my favourite thing to do. And the way that I found that it really worked was to use the teacher in role as the springboard. So I would love to meet children at the door of the classroom, whatever, in role, and put them in role.
So you'd go,
thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining me, officers. Yeah, I really appreciate that you have a busy schedule. So thank you for joining me. And they're like, what the heck is she doing? And like, speak to them really respectfully. So you put them in a role of high status, which obviously could still make some people feel uncomfortable. And, you know, again, you're ready to go, it's okay, it's just pretending, but it's okay. And some people would be a bit like, what the heck is going on? You have to kind of reassure them and make them feel safe, for sure. But kind of putting them in a role of high status and go, you know, so we've got this, as you know, we've got this, you may have heard the story of the missing girl, and she was last seen at this time, this date, and we have some of her possessions. But really now it's over to you with your superior knowledge of this landscape, this area, about where she possibly could have gone. Have any of you got any ideas? And then there'd always be one person who'd be like, okay, I get this. Yes, this is drama. I get it. Who would start the ball rolling. And then you can kind of withdraw once you've set up the scenario and their role. And then it really doesn't matter where they take it. The whole idea is a springboard for them to then make some drama about like what happened to the girl, like make some CCTV footage of her last, you know, the last time she was seen, or, you know, oh, you know, we think that this teddy is really symbolic and it, because actually it's this, or, you know, the broken mirror that was found was because this, and then they just make up their role plays to do with it. And there's no predetermined end to it. But I think there's a thing also about older children. So if you think about like preteens and maybe even teenagers. Yeah, well, definitely teenagers, because that's who I was working with, where role play, imaginative role play in this way and fancy play is less accessible to them because they do it less often. And there's more stigma attached to being seen doing that kind of playing. And that this kind of like setting up a quest or adult in role thing might be an easier way to kind of like ease them into it.
You will never need to go back to mundane marshmallows ever again. My book, Forest School Cooking, covers everything from how to build ovens to cooking in new and exciting ways, and a whole load of easy and amazing recipes that your groups will love. Order your copy today on Amazon.
Perhaps.
Yes, I think you're right. And I think there's something that's just come to my head, and it's in this book, I think, which is talking about the like, fulfillment and satisfaction, and where you're saying that there's the benefit to those games where you go high status, don't care where you go, off you go, and they're not necessarily being an end. This book in some places talks about the gratification of the end, of solving
the mystery,
but also that what you achieve. So, you know, we've done previous podcasts about like praise and punishment and rewards and intrinsic and external motivations and all those things. And in some way, doing this kind of in-role questing is so the example we did of like, they made me better. That is not
Like, hey, guess what? They didn't actually. I just pretended to be sick and then I pretended not to be. But there's a satisfaction in we found the thing. We found, it wasn't us doling stuff out.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something about the questing which is like, if the role players are declarative enough of like, oh, if you, well, I suppose I'd need those things, rather than being like, I will give you 10 gold if you get the thing. It's like, oh, well, you're self-motivated to heal. That nobody said, like, we'll all get marshmallows if the king is healed.
Mm.
It was purely a, like,
yeah,
in-role altruism.
And the working together thing, like the fire, for example, was incredible to watch. Like, if you ever wonder, like, how much do my group actually, like, know about stuff that's happened, you
like
know, about nature, connection, or, like, you know, that kind of there's no better word for it than questing situation where it's in a game, but it's kind of real because it is real stuff. You know, it's like find the larch cones or find the beech leaves or whatever as a team with no adult help apart from you've set that springboard up. It was, yeah, quite remarkable to see how much knowledge some of them had absorbed about different things. Go, oh, okay, that person actually never wants to make a fire, but they bloody well know how to do it. Those kind of things. It was interesting. It's like a little weird assessment of where they were.
Yeah, I think that's what you could very easily, if you were in a more curriculum-based setting, you could very easily like wander accidentally into this just being a slightly disguised like skills assessment. You could, and I don't, and I think there would be something lost along the way of like, if you'd been doing, like for some, it's like some people would be doing, I don't know, eight weeks of like fire skills. Like if you're using one of these outdoor bushcraft curriculums, and then you might then go, oh, we'll do a quest at the end where they meet someone who says like, only you who can light the fire to do, and the veil of like, between that and you actually being just the leader who's saying, hey, if you pass the test, you can make, you know, make fire, is too thin. There's something, like we hadn't gone in with that goal.
No.
We weren't, and you're saying about the teamwork thing, like, because it wasn't in any way assessing who does and who doesn't, or pitting them against each other of like, oh, well, you now can learn the code, but unfortunately you haven't learned the code. And I think
the pitting them against each other thing would be an easy trap to fall into because it makes an easy quest. It's like, which of you can be the first to do this or whatever. And the joy of it was that we didn't have to do that, and we didn't do that. And it wouldn't be the same if you'd done that, I think.
Yeah.
Because it was so intense. You can imagine that the emotional fallout of the battling of the two teams, I think, would be...
Oh, devastating.
Yeah.
Absolutely devastating.
Because it doesn't come from them, the idea of the game. You know, like how they do play battling and war and that kind of thing. But I think as a group gets to really know each other and knows each other really well, then once they reach that stage, they're unlikely to choose a role play scenario that they can't handle emotionally. I think it happens less and less the more a group get to know each other. But if we have set up this role play situation and we make it really dramatic, that I think that's the thing to bear in mind, actually, is to, when you're thinking about this quest, really think about your learners and like how they might
respond to it emotionally. Very different had we not had a group where the majority have been together for 5+ years.
Yeah,
that was something that they. It's almost like, you know, we talk about like work, like teamwork in work scenarios or teamwork in like sports scenarios, and like genuinely, the longer you've got to settle in and to understand how people respond to things and to do. If you try and do questing with a fresh group, and by that I mean like maybe a couple of people know each other and those two know each other, but as a group they haven't done any bonding, I think it would just be very different.
It would be very different. I wonder if it would be
bonding,
if you, as long as you made it like super accessible. Not, I don't know, I think it would take some really careful planning about like, that is our aim is to, and that's, I mean, we play little mini games in that way, like little kind of, I don't know, challenges that aren't high stakes and without any reward, just little, tend to be very bonding.
What examples are you thinking
of? I'm just thinking about like little games, like when we play Go Find It at the beginning of a holiday club and collect, if anyone doesn't know, it's the game with the cards and they've got adjectives on them, like crunchy or small or whatever. And we might, if it's a big group, we'll divide them into two groups just arbitrarily and just say, okay, we're going to find something that we think is amazing and now we're going to find something tiny. And then at the end, it's like, I wonder if we can turn the things we found into a picture on the floor. And so I'm just thinking about that creates the same sort of atmosphere within the group where, you know, one person would be like, oh, this could be the face. Oh, no, get the thing. Oh, yeah, no, you know. And you might, that thing about adding constraints maybe that you might say, oh, yeah, we've got this much time or whatever. So it kind of enhances creativity and kind of teamwork. And that I always feel makes a really nice atmosphere when people don't necessarily know each other very well because they are working. It's that co-regulation, isn't it? We're all working on this shared goal without too, you know, high stakes or any prizes or anything like that. So it sets up quite a positive feeling. So I think if you did quite a low stakes quest with a lot of space for exploration and settling and support, I think it could be quite nice at the beginning.
Yeah, I think it would be, I'm trying to think how it might shake out with groups that I've had, say like school groups I've had in the past, where the range between the very, very high social extrovert learners and the very, very introverted or apprehensive low social need learners, not low social need, that's the wrong phrase, but you get where I'm going. Whether, like, which types, how would you set up a quest so that you didn't lose people in that mix and somebody just goes, yeah, we just kind of wandered around for a bit. And I think that's when people end up starting making quests where they play to particular strengths or they go like, oh, they do it like Crystal Maze style where they're like, okay, we need a warrior who's under 3 foot and then the rest of the team, you know, like you're sort of giving people moments in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. If you had a different type of questing, would be doing that.
You'd need I think you need quite a small group to do it as well. I don't think it would work with like a big old class. I'm just looking at this book again.
Mm-hmm.
I found the dragons.
Oh, yeah.
5 powerful dragons waiting for us out there in the woods and the hills. The dragon of the east, which guards the beauty of the world. The dragon of the south, which guards the fecundity of nature. The dragon of the west, which guards the treasures of the earth. The dragon of the north, which represents the wild forces of the elements. And the dragon within, which we all have to learn to control. And then there's this bit of the initiation of the hero following 7 stages. Mm-hmm. Stage 1, separation from the mother. Stage 2, the call to adventure. Stage 3, entering the margin, the forest of challenges. Stage 4, shape-shifting or metamorphosis. Number 5, the great quest. Number 6, overcoming the powers of darkness and chaos. And 7, rebirth and inheriting the kingdom. That's quite an interesting little summation of like
questing,
but also maybe some people's view of like life or evolution of humankind or those kind of things, you know, that like recapitulative play where we're reenacting ancient things. And I guess this book has a real connection to that type of play, isn't it?
They do talk about there being, again, myths of like Greek legends, like in Sparta, where the children had to leave and live in the woods for a full 12 months.
Wow.
And with like, there was a role in the society who was like woods leader.
Right. Scout
some
leader.
Sort of cult in the school, cult in the woods. But that they would go into this like deep animal connection and howl, and that this might be where werewolves come from, that this like unbridled, like howling noise, but also werewolves having this like, high testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really think of it in a different way. That like you send a load of teenage boys out into the woods, hair starts sprouting in different places.
Oh, gosh.
They start doing, you know.
Yeah.
Werewolves are just teenage boys. That's what we're asserting.
Yeah.
But this book makes me think that it's such a Western viewpoint. And I say this as someone who is in that, what's the thing? Weird. Western, educated, industrialized, something else. That view of the quest and it being solo questing and your journey and stuff. And I have heard in some places or read in some places that this comes from
particularly like the Mediterranean coast, the farmland and the crops that grow there are harvestable by a single person. Mm-hmm. So the culture then builds up this idea of like individual, like it's like almost like the self-made person, because they could farm their own land. That farming goes well. They are successful. Blah blah blah. So the success always comes in Western stories from the individual. The individual goes through change. They come out the other side a better person. They inherit the kingdom. Blah blah blah. Whereas lots of stories from Asia are multi-part stories, and they tell the same event from different characters' perspectives, and that the plot line is always a lot more about who helped along the way and what advice was given and unseen help, and that there is no one narrative.
There's no one hero.
There's no one hero. It's everybody working together, and it's a bit like... it's like the reverse of, you know, that play, Inspector Calls, where it's like, I did it. No, I did it. Yeah. No, I. It's like the reverse of that, where it's like, well, I helped save the, you know, gave That's the cool. family food. Oh, no, well, I. And this, like, but the Greek and Western tradition is much more like individual hero success, worship the individual.
Interesting. It reminds me that some people who are doing like outdoors education and things like that are like, do run sort of residential projects for teenage girls and teenage boys.
Rites of passage type stuff.
Yeah. And it makes me, this makes me really want to speak with them about overlaps.
They're one of the people that's gave me the book. So Jenny gave me, Jenny recommended me the book. Yeah. Jenny runs lots of those things up in Neroche Woodlanders, if you want to look at rites of passage stuff.
Yes.
Jenny does loads of amazing, Jenny and Sarah, I think, run together.
Yes, Jenny Archard. And Wildwise down near Dartington.
Dartington? South Devon.
Yeah.
Say South Devon.
Totnes. Makes me want to speak to them about overlaps there and how they might plan those sort of projects.
Yeah, I would say we've definitely just dipped our toe in the idea of quests and journeying. And well, it's actually an interesting thing because, sorry, I'm pointing at you there quite aggressively. Sorry.
Sounds like you can make a very important point right now.
Really not.
What?
It was interesting. So some stuff we talk about going, especially like spiritual stuff or nature connection stuff, and we both say you can imagine the groups doing it, but you can't imagine selling it.
Yeah.
Once they were doing it, you're like, yeah, they would love that. Yeah. But the sell, the offer, the springboard is way harder, I think. Because it requires a moment of, it's not necessarily high status, but it requires a moment of being like, I need your full attention. You have to like watch what I'm doing and listen for a couple of minutes. And like, even that sometimes is an ask that groups will
and
go.
Also, do you know what I think that reveals is that when people have been in a certain situation, certain place, with a certain group of people for a certain amount of time, long
Some
term.
Sort of forest school provision.
Yeah. They are so full of intrinsic motivations for what they want to do with their time.
Yeah.
Why would they, you know, I'd love to listen to your idea right now or do your thing, but I've got this thing I need to do over there with this person and this thing. And, you know, and that is, and that, so that's great. Like, I think we can sometimes, you know, we talk to other forest school practitioners about like, oh yeah, you know, oh, they didn't go for my idea or whatever. And that, I think that can genuinely be a good thing.
Applications for Forest School Leader Training at Children of the Forest are now open. Come and learn with me and Wem at our private woodland down in Devon. Find out more by heading to myforestschooltraining.co.uk. See you there.
But I think, I agree, and I think there's another part of that as well, which is that spiral in and out of authenticity and masking, you know, and it spirals in and it's unmasking, blah, blah, blah. And oh, that doesn't really explain it for people that don't know the spiral I'm talking about. It's like a spiral inwards, and it talks about unmasking and revealing and to doing it. And then on the outs, on the way out of the spiral, you do like connecting and different, you know, it's that anyway, that thing. And I think there is something about like at any one point, the majority of a long-term group are in that unmasked, unfiltered phase, which is slightly to do with them having intrinsic motivation, but it is also to do with
not masking and, you know, doing whatever. And but as that spiral grows out is where you reach the other side of that, which is like a level of... So, like, so we've just done the conference, the national conference, and at the closing ceremony, I don't think you mind me saying that Mel... Harrison was moving around the circle with the drum, dum 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 dum, and she was making direct eye contact with different people, going, ha, dum 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 dum, ha, dum dum, and really, like, she was in the zone, in the role, in the thing. And I was like, oh, okay, there's lots of people standing here round, and I would say, I would estimate, guess that a lot of people are there are masking, going, this is weird, this is, so I'm just going to mask and go, as well. Then I think there's people who are slightly further out of that spiral in their relationship with Mel, who are going, out of respect for what you're doing, I will give you my attention and time, even though I don't understand it yet. And with lots of learning, like younger groups of younger people, they're edging towards that thing where you just maybe, if you were a bit more vocal, could go, in times where we need them to, lots of our groups, we can go, hey, you know, it's not bribing, punishing, rewarding. It's not asking people to mask. It's just going, I would really love if I could just do this for 2 minutes. Will you go along with me to do that? And so that might be the way into the thing. But I was going to say that was a really long tangent. Sorry.
Really? What? But for quite a meaty thing. And I think just it's a reminder of the flat hierarchy of Forest School. Yeah. And there were lots of moments like that yesterday, actually, where I was like...
thinking about the you know, drawing a circle around me and everybody chanting and then everybody chanting around the fire, and those are things that, like, as the cell, the quest was quite a useful container, and it allowed some, like, you know, in role to go, oh, we must all chant round the fire, like, that if you'd gone, hey, do you guys want to, like, stamp on the ground and chant the word fire over and over again, no, of course we don't, but in this container,
it's
and
really
then,
fun.
Once we've done it, then maybe that we were. I was talking, you know, one of the workshops I did about, you know, that like reinforcing moments of nature connection through memory and reminding people of, like, do you remember the time we did this? And maybe next time they'll come around, and that's, you know, long term stuff's moving in the fire. Oh dear, that might be the cue. Yeah. That those things that happen in that container to begin with, then you've got a foothold potentially to do them outside of that container.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say now.
Yeah.
Okay.
You said all the things.
I've said everything there is. I would like to find out. If you're someone that does rites of passage groups, for any groups, I think there's loads of different, like, cross sections there and intersectionality between who needs different... Anyway.
Yeah.
If you are in that, please do... get in touch. Our email address is childrenoftheforest@outlook.com. I want to say massive thank you to everybody that's supporting us on Patreon.
Yes, thank you so much. You know, it has helped us to upgrade equipment, like for the conference recordings. We had a new battery pack, which, oh my God, was a lifesaver. That you didn't have to
recorded.
Yeah, you didn't have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go and drive and find batteries. So it is so appreciated. Thank you so much.
So if you want to support us on Patreon, the lowest tier, you can do it for like £2 in a month. You get like 2 or 3 episodes a month. And plus, if you're on Patreon, you get other bonus bits as well.
Yes.
So you can go patreon.com/childrenoftheforest. Really appreciate everyone that goes there. Or just go tell someone else about the podcast.
Yeah.
So many people... it was a real mix at the conference of people going, oh my God, I love the podcast. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. I'm driving for 3,000 hours just with your voices. And then some new people going, oh, I've never heard of this thing.
What is podcast?
What is a podcast? So go find someone and go, hey.
Or write a review
us. Review.
That's so helpful. It's so immense. Nice.
Or sharing stuff that we do on social media. It all helps.
Yeah.
And that stuff doesn't cost anything. It just helps us get to more people.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. We will see you.
Soon.
Maybe next time will be conference podcast.
Yeah.
Depends how quickly we can get through all that
recording.
Indeedio. See you soon.
Bye-bye.